Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we are in part two with our good friend Dominic, Dom DeLuca from Massachusetts on the border of Rhode Island, and shared last time about some understanding of what it means to process, chew on God's word, abide with God's word, that you got your daughter who's newly married with her son-in-law now living with you for a while. And do you have any thought, do they have any thought about how long, or just waiting for something to happen? Or
I made a comment about last year I paid a guy to plow my driveway for $800 for one time because we only had snow once. And I said I wasn't going to do it. And he says, I'll be here. So that tells me at least April. I don't know.
Well, hey, you just saved $800.
I did.
But you're saving all kinds of money, right?
Yeah. Yes. That'll be interesting. Well, it sounds like though it's healthy and good and fun, and it is a privilege, yeah, you know, to have them. And what's their name, by the way?
Amanda or Mandy and Derek.
Yeah, Mandy. Father, we just pray for Mandy and Derek right now. We actually know that you've orchestrated this, and they're there to receive what Dom is willing to give away, and it's going to make an impact on their whole life. And so we just pray that it will be so. I pray that they enjoy all of it together, and it'll be a privilege to what Dom and his wife will engage. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we know that you mentioned last time that you're facing, interesting enough, knee surgery. So, and this is, I think, a great example of, okay, it's there, and what do we do? Well, how do we approach this? So, first of all, just tell us physically what happened. When did you start having difficulty, and what caused you to now have to actually do surgery?
So, about a year or two, probably a little over a year, my knee started to be in pain, and I went and got a cortisone shot. And then it lasted a few months, and then I went back, and they said, "Well, you can get them. You probably don't need the surgery yet because the cortisone shot did it for a couple of months, and then the medication they gave me, the NSAID, it's called diclofenac, carried me over till the next shot." So we were doing great, walking, biking, meaning aggressively biking, and then we had a plan because we're going on a big family vacation in April, and we had a plan to try to get to April, and I officiated my sister's wedding last week, so I needed to get through that. But at the end of August, the shot wore off, and I took the diclofenac, and it didn't really help, and got slowly worse until I finally called. I said, "This is not going away. I think they always tell you, you'll know when you need it." Well, we were getting to that point where we know when we need it.
By the way, share with the audience, knee pain, because it's knee, it's there all the time. And just talk about why that is so difficult just to say, I can't live with this. What about that pain? Because other pains, like, maybe I can live with this, but this one you can't, interesting enough.
Well, yeah, I can't go to the grocery store. I can't cook. I cooked for my kids the other day. I was feeling good. And by the end of the meal, by the end of cooking, by the time I was serving it, I get in squirm mode, which is, I cannot get rid of the pain. It's just, just terrible. It goes away if I sit, but it's life changing in that I can't move and I can't go places. Even it's impacted work. I'm an outside sales guy. I had to cancel appointments. So it impacts, everything in your life. And it is, the weight of your walking just aggravates it.
Yeah.
So when I got to that point, they said, okay, yeah, it's November or December. And I'm like, well, that's 80 days. Are you crazy? And this is the max pain medicine I can get. And I said, well, I can't sleep. They said, well, just take Tylenol PM and we'll see you. They were nice about it, but we'll see you in November.
Yeah.
So I started abiding on that. And I had actually wrote before, because we were talking about worry the night before at that abiding meeting that we had at the church that we go to. And I said, I'm not, because it was talking about you know, life. For me, it was the life that he's talking about is your soul. It's your eternal life. You don't have to protect it. There's nothing you can do to protect it, right? And so I was talking about life, and I made a joke, say, well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid to get hurt. And it's like, you know, if the bomb goes off, I want to be on the front row and just gone. So I kind of joked about that. And then the next morning, I started writing about what is the Lord teaching me about pain? And I wrote, the Lord said, he is teaching me to live with pain. I actually wrote, I'm in pain now. I wrote that. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to be in pain. And then I wrote, I am in pain now. And I felt the Lord say, ask me what I'm trying to teach you in this pain. And as I meditated on it, it was pride, expectations, empathy, being still, perseverance, and patience, which actually, this will be in the true sense of the word patience. We think patience is standing in line at Starbucks. It's long suffering. I mean, that's really what biblical patience is. And that's probably, this is as close as I've been to long suffering. So I wrote that. And then it actually was the morning I did my sister's wedding that afternoon. And about 1:30, 2 o'clock, I stood up, went to just stand on the dance floor, picked my left knee up, and injured my other knee.
Ooh.
And it buckled, and I was like, are you kidding me? And the diagnosis was, well, sir, you need two knees. Which one do you want to do first? I'm like, no, that's not even an option. So I'm still trying to not figure out, but learn what God wants me to know during this time. And it is, I'm one to walk fast, and you walk fast with my weight, you're putting 400 pounds of pressure on that knee. So I've got to learn to be a little slower, which is probably not a bad thing. But that's where I'm at, you know, as of today with that process.
Yeah. You have adversity, and it's real adversity because it's not only just mentally difficult, it's a physical issue that is really hard. Whenever you have pain, it's really hard, particularly with knee pain. So with that, as you're now beginning that process, how are you approaching that to walk with God, given that you have this adversity? What is your expectation? And then how are you approaching the dialogue with God to receive this, knowing that it's going to be, now, are you going to have two knee surgeries then?
No, not yet. I think I kind of just tweaked the other knee, and I probably have another year or so with it. So it's getting a little better. So I'm not, I think, eventually, but not right away.
Okay.
But I guess I would say, having really not even pondered that question, I know that he's teaching me something with it. And I'm confident that if I get to a point where it's bothering me, or I've done things to people because I'm irritated, and the meds are no picnic. I mean, they make you depressed. They make you grouchy and stuff like that. So my goal, and at least I hope, I will be more apologetic, more aware that I might offend people in this process. And it is what it is. I trust God for it. He's got a reason for it. As an abider, you're always looking for, okay, God, what do you want to do with this? Who am I going to meet? Who am I going to see? What am I going to have to say? Because you put me in this situation, because he doesn't waste anything. So yeah. So that's sort of my posture.
Yeah. How are you dialoguing with God day after day after day as you head toward surgery, which sounds like then it would be just have the right surgeon and in essence God resolve that, which then takes away the pain? And do they put a brand new knee in, basically? Is that what they do? How does that work?
Yeah, fortunately, and this was a prayer we had, and they're able to do it, is there's a difference between a total and a partial. And the partial knee, which is what I need, is the third of the recovery of a whole knee. So the recovery will be faster. So we're trusting that we've gone to this place in Rhode Island, University Orthopedics. These guys are great. They did my shoulder. They've done my hands. They've done my ankle. I'm a frequent flyer there. And I'm hoping, I trust that we are in the right spot with them. They're just good. They do a great job. Just praying that God works out the business piece. God works out relational piece. I'm in a lot of places. I'm at church. I'm worship leader. I'm doing all sorts of stuff. I went to practice last night for music, and I'm not sure I can stand up there Sunday with a guitar, right? Mm. So just follow it and see what God has for me. My expectations are, again, God will provide. One of my favorite books, and I know you're aware of it, is the Experiencing God by Blackaby. And one of the ones that hit me was, he knows what you need before you ask him. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and just have confidence that he'll work it out some. The business and everything.
Yep. As you talk about that confidence, which in the Bible is called hope, it's not, I hope it works. It's I have confidence that God is going to bring resolution to this. two things that you mentioned. One is that you do have confidence it'll be resolved, but it isn't just about the knee. It's about all the aspects of it. You know, you got business, yeah. You got relationships, you got things that all have to be resolved. So talk a little bit about why do you have that confidence? And then how will you process that over the next, 80 days, 70 days to get there? How will you go about it? So one, why do you have that confidence? And then two, how will you approach this day after day after day as he begins to deliver this?
So I'd say I have that confidence because God has demonstrated that he's worthy of that confidence, that he's reliable. And it's not like I'm expecting that everything could turn out perfect. That's not what I mean. And that's why I think I like the word confidence over hope. I've never thought of that. But that at the end of the day, whatever happens is his will. And when you start every day with the Lord's Prayer and you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, I have confidence that that's what God is going to do. So I just have this confidence based on a track record.
Yeah. And we want to highlight that actually, Kathy and I, we actually taped a podcast about this. And this is in Leviticus. He says, I will confirm for you the covenant. And we talked about that has to be personal and it has to be done over and over and over again. So that now today, I mean, maybe 10 years ago, you would have said, boy, I don't even know what's going to happen. But now, you know, why? Well, because God's demonstrated it to you time after time after time. Right. And now with this, your confidence is, yes, that's going to happen. I believe it. Yeah. Why? Well, because it's happened before. So that's a great statement that we want everybody to know. And why? Well, because Dom said, I'm willing to learn this. And you did.
Yeah, and it's not like you're sitting somewhere listening to somebody say that to the multitudes. God specifically has told things to me that have happened individually, right. And that's the power of abiding. You're experiencing that Holy Spirit individually into
right.
your
and
exact
that
situation.
So personal, right?
Like I had a few weeks ago, I had a problem. This person at church quit, and we didn't know why. And I'm thinking, what did I say? Because I've had that issue in my life where I say things, and I was just destroyed because I really wanted this person in our group. I went to Abide and I go, God, what did I say? And the Lord revealed that what I said, this person took as I was complaining about them, not what happened to them. It was their fault. The Lord showed me that. And I went right to sleep. And we had a meeting a week later and the guy said that. And I went, yeah, God told me that. And I just shared my whole Abiding story with a whole Abiding that's what God showed me that. And I was able to show how, no, I was concerned for you what happened to you. I wasn't blaming for you what happened to you. So it's thousands of things like that over the last 4 or 5 years that just give you confidence that, yep, God's gonna. And when God told me that, I knew I was almost gonna bet money. I was gonna joke about it. Let's see if I don't know what I was gonna say, but something stupid, I'm sure. But because I was so confident, I was able to go right to sleep, which that's the track record in history of doing this.
Yeah. And when, first of all, two things that you're illustrating, we want to keep having you discuss this is one, something happens and all you did was say, you went to God and say, what happened here? And is there something I did, and you didn't try to figure it out yourself. You said, well, I'll just go to him. Okay. He told you, you heard it. So you heard his voice. And actually you then said, oh, okay, I get it. And then you follow through on that. So why are you willing to, even when he's instructing or challenging or saying, yeah, you did something here, here's what I'd like you to do differently. Why do you willingly receive that?
Oh, again, it's first having faith and knowing who Christ is and knowing that he has my best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that if I had done something wrong that wasn't just a misunderstanding that I knew I could fix. I slept because I said, I can fix that. That's easy. And I do have a scenario where it was the opposite, where I had made a huge mistake that I'd like to share with you in my abiding.
Sure.
Where I heard from God and it was hard and I obeyed him, and it was an incredible opportunity at our company. I was doing a personal retreat, and I remember writing down. I went back, and I wrote down, "Let them win." It was about my company. Hmm. Let them win. Okay. And I started reading James, which was slow to speak, quick to listen. All right. God's speaking to me. And then a little while after the C-12 has, they come in and interview your employees. And one of the things that was said was he always has to have the last word. Mm. which, yeah, I'm not surprised at that at all. And I try. So I was abiding, not necessarily on that, but I've been, you know, in the fruits of the Spirit and into that, those scriptures there. And I was reading the ugly part right before it, you know, all the bad stuff versus all the good stuff. And there was this word in there called strife. And so what is that? And I researched it and I was horrified. It was basically always wanting to be right. Mm. Wow. And it's not in a lot of translations, it's not that word. It's what is it? I don't know which word. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, which doesn't sound as bad as what it really is. And so I went and had a meeting at my company, and I brought these two scriptures, and I, at the end of the meeting, I said, okay, I'm going to do something now that's just going to be a little weird. And I said, there's two lists of people that you can be associated with. And one of these is idolaters, witchcraft, hatred, people, jealousy, really bad stuff. And then there's the really good list and the people who are patient and all that. And I said, there's a word. I asked them what they knew what strife meant, and they didn't. And I told them what it meant. And I said, I've done that to you, and I want to apologize. Mm. Now I'm crying. Right. They're squirming. That's all. But it was a God thing. It was being able to hear from God and make it right with our people. And I'm hoping that solidified some of our relationships here. Because part of that is self-control, right? Which is a fruit of the Spirit. Part of that is patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. A lot of the things in the fruits of the Spirit hit that,
yeah,
that one thing. And I can tell over time that I am getting better at it. Just feel, I don't mean that in a prideful way. I just feel like I'm more patient. I tell people, yeah, I got rid of caffeine because I don't interrupt as much, but I can feel the presence there of God. And my essence has changed, I think, of who I am, because it's more like fruits of the Spirit should be. So that was a thing we did here at our company.
Yeah. All these things you're sharing are just so beautiful because they highlight really how God functions. And that is, one, he said, do you let them win? Which, when you first got that, you don't even know what that means, but you wrote it down. God said it. You wrote it down because if God says something, you're going to do something with it. So you wrote it down. Then you started to get processed, and God led you to Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. And you looked at that word strife, which he highlighted, pay attention. Mm-hmm. You went and investigated that, and it said, always has to win. And you said, well, that's me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get it. So now, as he then instructs you, how difficult was it to, first of all, you know, kind of say, I agree with that, and then go to the level of actually gathering people together and apologizing for that, which meant, and I know this, when you did that, you just announced to everybody, you kind of have a right to call me on this, because I just said I'm going to do it, and I'm making a public statement about this. I can't just say it and never follow through. Right. And you kind of knew that, which is a little bit scary. So how did you have the willingness and the wherewithal to actually go to that level? And that was a humility. And now know you gotta follow through.
For me, it was a no-brainer. And maybe that was part of the Spirit of me being led, or part of my desire that I was horrified that I would do that to people. You do things and you're still horrified that you do them. And you don't want to do them. And so it was really easy for me to do it. It's to say I was going to do it. I was nervous. I won't say scared to death, because I don't really get that way, but it was tough to do it, admitting failure, admitting that you're wrong. But what I will say it did after was, at the end of it, it was like, well, that wasn't that bad. I shared scripture. I shared God. It wasn't that bad. So that's part of the strengthening, I think, of your faith when you do things like that, that God is strengthening you to do that. Hopefully I won't have to apologize more, but he's training you and preparing you to do things like that.
So. Yeah, that's beautiful. And that was a great humility to do that. And then what I was saying was, when you announced it publicly, you now set everybody up and said, you kind of have a right to call me on this if I don't follow through. Is that a scary moment, you know, to do that? Because you know that now you can't just say it and not do it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was actually, they've called me on it a couple times because I sincerely wanted to. I think the truth here is that I don't want to be that person. Yeah. And I did that a while back, and with something I was joking about somebody who was short. I heard later that they were offended by it. So I said, I'll give you $10 if I ever say it again. I'd never said it again because I didn't want to. I knew it was bad. I knew I shouldn't do it. And I try my best not to.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, we will have you back again because it's so beautiful how you express what does this look like. And we've always appreciated this about you, Dom, is that you have no trouble saying exactly what happened. So that's a trait that we do admire in you. And I think that's why God takes you to these places, because you're willing to go. And it's so beautiful. And we just pray blessing over you. And thanks. Father, it's a joy to see the joy in Dom, or see the changes in him, that you're working his character, his fruit of the Spirit. It's having him enjoy life and people around him enjoying him. And what a privilege that is. So I just pray that you'll continue to teach him. We do lift up this knee, that it would be well. We do even pray that they could possibly even move it up if possible. And in the meantime, whatever you're going to show him, we know that he'll receive it. And it'll be a great understanding. And we pray for the surgery to go well, for the recovery to go well, and then for the other knee to be pain-free for a while until it's time for that. So we'll come back and hear what happened. And we know that he has confidence, we have confidence, it'll all be resolved. And it'll be exactly how you want it to do. It'll give him a blessing to be a blessing. We praise you and thank you now for him and for his life and his family and his business, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dom. Yeah. I just think you set out just such a beautiful example today of, even when you were talking about you're seeing yourself becoming more patient and all of these things, more long suffering, all of these, that is abiding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the natural fruit. You are staying abiding.
Yep.
He is transforming you to be a pure reflection of him. And isn't that what we all desire? Just that
Absolutely.
Beautiful sanctification. So thank you for representing that so well and just expressing that so well to us. To our listeners, thanks for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.